I guess this morning I can't ask any questions to the 12 and under crowd. Although that was fun yesterday, but... Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong, they are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. I find that interesting when I do that. I use that at VBS's to kids are talking and milling around and doing other things, and I'm ready for them to start singing, and I just start singing that song, and within just a couple of words, everybody's right with me. I didn't tell you to sing. You just did it. And I'm glad, because I didn't want to do a solo. And did you notice something else that happened about halfway through that song? We started getting some interesting harmonies. Nobody's looking at any music. I didn't say, now when we get to this point, I want you to split up into parts. Nah, it just happened. It just happened. An entire book of the Old Testament is nothing but songs. What book is that? Psalms. The songs of many of God's people are recorded throughout the Bible for us. Many. The early church spent time in song. We have it recorded. Paul and Silas, while they were in prison, they prayed and they sang. Jesus sang a song with his disciples right before his arrest. It's one of the last things he did before he was taken away. They sung a hymn. We're told by command and example to sing both as a group and individually. The question I've been asked to address is, why is singing so important? What does it really do? What is the point? Psalm 147 and 1, verse 1 says, "Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is beautiful." Music is uniquely human. I don't know if you've ever thought about that before. Music is uniquely human. Now, there are animals that have songs and make sounds, and they're beautiful too. But they're born with them. They're innate. They come out of their egg or of the womb already knowing what that song is going to sound like. It's already there. Now, some of them, and we like to have fun with these, but some of them can be trained to alter their sounds or to mimic something else for a short period of time. But only humans have the ability to truly, quote, learn musical variety. You might be able to teach your bird to whistle a little tune, but you can't teach it the difference between Beethoven and Count Basie. Okay? That's because we have a part of our brain that is different than any other animal on the planet. There's lots of parts of our brain that are different. But we have an area called the temporal lobes, right here on the side of our head, which is the part of the brain that is involved in the processing of sound. And it is much more highly developed than any animal. When you sing, musical vibrations actually resonate through you. And I forgot to do this. I normally carry a tuning fork with me. Jill's going to dig through my Bible case and see if she can find it. And you know what a tuning fork is? Okay, it's a little piece of metal, kind of wide. You pound it, and nobody hears anything, unless you hold it real close to your ear. But this is the demonstration I was going to do. What would happen if I was to take the end of that vibrating tuning fork and stick it on here? Everybody. Oh, you found it? That means it's time to clean out my Bible case. I can hear that. Can you hear that? A little bit? Okay. Hopefully this will work. It's not loud. There's too much on here, probably. Well, anyway. It's called sympathetic vibration. It's resonating. When one thing resonates and it touches another thing that resonates, the whole thing resonates. Okay, it's really fun if you've got one of these to put it on a hollow door. It's like a speaker. It's really cool. And what's interesting about that is that when we sing, our vocal cords are vibrating. Guess what that does? It sends vibrations and resonations throughout our entire body. We may not really notice it or feel it externally, but it does. And these vibrations have an altering effect on both our physical and our emotional makeup. And that's true for group singing or singing alone. Singing takes something incredibly personal, a sound, a thought, an emotion that starts inside you and shares it with anybody within earshot. It opens you up and makes you vulnerable to those around you. And when that sound then returns to you, when you're singing in a group, it comes back as something much greater than it left. Harmony, intensity, much greater than what you put out through your body. I want to take you through some things that singing does. I'm going to kind of be like Rick was yesterday. You're not going to get a lot of verses from me this morning. I'm going to talk a lot about some other stuff, but we will hit some verses as well again toward the end. I don't know if you knew this. There's a lot of interesting things. Singing actually strengthens the immune system. It has a very definite effect on us. According to research conducted at the University of Frankfurt, they tested choir members. They took blood samples before they rehearsed, and then they took blood samples after an hour-long rehearsal with Mozart's Requiem. And they found that in most cases, the amount of proteins in the immune system, I should have Jeff up here talking about these words, called immunoglobulin A. And Jeff, if I butcher any of these things, just let me know. I'm not a doctor and I don't play one on TV. These natural immunopeptides, these proteins, were higher after the rehearsal than they were before. And they are doing research that seems to be that if somebody has certain diseases, including things like cancer and other very serious issues, singing actually improves their health. It actually makes them better. And it doesn't seem to be an emotional response. It seems to be a physical response. By the way, they did do the same test, a blood test before and a blood test after, listening, the same people listening to the same music they were participating in, but not participate in it, just sit there and listen, no increase. No response. It wasn't about the music, it was about the effort of singing, the effort that was going into it. Singing is actually considered a workout. Any of you that have ever been in actively participating in a choir understand what I'm talking about. If you're really working at what you're doing, you're tired at the end. It is a workout. Get your red books out. Turn to 398. And we're not going to sing the whole thing, but we are going to sing the first verse. There are some songs that are meant to be sung with energy. So get ready to breathe deeply and get a workout. I want to show you what we're talking about here. 398. This should not be sung slow, in my mind. Do, mi, so, just the first verse and chorus. There's a happy land of promise over on the great beyond, where the saved of earth shall whom their glory share, where the souls of earth shall enter, live on forevermore. Everybody will be happy over there. Everybody will be happy over there. Over there will be happy over there. We will shout and sing His praises through the never-ending ages. Everybody be happy over there. Now, if you didn't work out a little bit right then you weren't participating very well. Because you had to breathe deep, you had to work at it a little bit. Even if you're healthy, your lungs will get a workout as you sing or vocally project. You have to breathe differently. All of a sudden, you have to take in a deep breath and release it slowly over time. This stimulates overall circulation. You bring in more oxygen. And in some cases, you bring in more oxygen when actively singing than you do with other types of exercise. You pull in a lot of air. Some believe that singing actually increases your aerobic capacity and stamina. There are elite athletes that actually take singing classes to learn how to breathe deeply and properly to help their body begin to use and utilize more and more oxygen. As you increase the oxygen and the blood flow in your body's ability to function increases, and the brain actually is able to think and learn better because there's more oxygen flowing to those areas of your body. Singing is a natural antidepressant. Studies have been shown that singing is known to release endorphins. Endorphins are a brain chemical that help you feel uplifted and happy. Another hormone that is produced when you sing is oxytocin. Some of you have probably talked about this sometimes in different areas. But this hormone is found to relieve anxiety and stress. It also enhances feelings of trust and bonding to each other. This may explain why even more studies have found that singing decreases feelings of loneliness or depression. Not that singing can fix everything, but it does help. It does help. Scientists have identified a tiny organ in the ear called the sacculus. And don't ask me to point it out, but that's where it's at. Jeff might be able to tell you. I don't know. This little organ in the ear actually responds to frequencies when we're singing. It activates. And when it is activated, it gives a sense of pleasure. All right, it gives a sense of pleasure. Regardless, this is what the research said, not me, regardless of what the singing sounds like. We're going to talk about that more later, but I just wanted to throw that in. Not only that, but singing can boost your mood temporarily based on the emotion or the mood or the words of the music just by temporarily taking your mind off of your daily troubles. Music is pretty popular in our society, isn't it? It flows right through all of us. Maybe I'm odd, I don't know, but I often find myself walking down through the street or driving down through the road and all of a sudden songs just start popping into my head. And usually there's a good reason why they pop into my head. They make me feel better or they make me think about something. Singing lowers stress levels. It releases stored tension that is often found in the muscles. It releases a hormone called cortisol into your bloodstream. You didn't, We don't think about singing doing all of this stuff. Okay, so I'm throwing some sounds out of my throat. And they're supposed to sound good, but sometimes they don't. But it releases cortisol. This cortisol is a stress reducer, okay, within your body. The other thing they have found is that if you sing regularly with a group of people, especially if it is a similar or same group of people, that all these effects that we've talked about hormonally are cumulative. Which means that the more often you do it together, the more intense these feelings are, the more intense the response of the body is to the singing. So singing together on a regular basis is better than singing by myself once in a while. Music and songs can have a lasting impact. How many of you, when alphabetizing something, still in your head sing the ABC song? Right? Even if we don't have to, we still do it. How many of you can name the judges in order from the Bible? How many of you do that by singing the song? That's what I do. If somebody asks, if I decide to recite the judges, like with a lesson or something, if you ever hear me do that, even if I'm not singing, I'll guarantee you in my mind is going, God set judges over Israel, one brave woman, 14 men. Sing it with me. They helped Israel fight their battles, fought them back from God again. Othniel, Ehud, Shamgar, Deborah, Gideon, Abimelech, Tola, Jer, Jephthah, Ibzan, Elon, Abnon, Samson, Eli, Samuel. And if you learn that song, you'll never forget it. It has a lasting impact. Turn to 179. Just the first verse, 179. Do, so, do. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my riches gains I count but loss, and for contempt on all I find. We were laughing and joking and enjoying things. And the minute we started singing that song, what happened? Our minds went to a much more serious place. Our emotions changed to where we were thinking about something that had much more impact than whether we could remember the order of the judges or not. Music has the ability to touch the emotion, to touch our hearts, to transport us to a place, to bring back memories. Maybe this happens with you, but there are certain songs that when we sing them in the congregation, I think of a funeral that I was at, or a wedding that I went to, or a time when I was sitting in a completely another congregation at a completely other time period, and that song was sang, and it just touched me in a certain way. Music has the ability to transport us to some place or some time when that song just meant something important to us. When a group sings together, the words of a song are even more vividly imprinted on our brain than if we sing it by ourselves. The emotions of the song are more deeply felt. The message contained in the words is more completely understood. There's something about the combination of words and melody, even if we don't consider ourselves musical, that makes a lasting impression. Singing brings us together. There is some, it's very recent research, but I think it's been duplicated and it's been looked at enough that I think it's sound. This was done in Sweden at the, and I may not say this right, but at the Sahlgrenska Academy at the University of Gothenburg. And what they did, they found that, they did some research with choir members, and they found that singing has a calming effect on the heart, especially when a song is sung in unison. And that, well, anyway, what they did was they took pulse monitors and attached them to the choir members' ears. And then they hooked all of those pulse monitors up to a display that could show all of their pulses at the same time. And then they had them sing a Swedish hymn in four-part harmony. When they started, when they first got them hooked up, before they started singing, their pulse rates were all over the place, right? Because everybody has a different pulse. But it didn't take very long singing the song before, immediately really, when they started singing the song, the pulse rates all went from varied to very calm immediately. And then, within just a few measures of the song, the singer's heart rates actually began to synchronize. They weren't all over the place anymore. They weren't exactly the same, but they began to form a rhythm within the group, without the group even trying to do that. When you sing, this is a quote from Bjorn Wyckoff, one of the researcher, the musicologist that directed the project. He says this, quote, "When you sing the phrases of a song, it is a form of guided breathing. You exhale on the phrases and breathe in between phrases. When you exhale, the heart slows down." This is a common biofeedback technique. You can try it yourself sometime if you want. You can take your pulse when you've exercised or something and it's up real high, and you can take a deep breath in and just slowly let it out, and you can actually feel your pulse go down. It's a very common biofeedback practice. But, as I said, what really struck him is that it took almost no time for all of the singer's heart rates to become synchronized. It started out as a jagged group of heartbeats and then slowly formed into almost a unison, a shared rhythm that was guided by the song's tempo. The choir members were externally synchronizing things. They were synchronizing their breathing, they were synchronizing their words, they were synchronizing their phrasing, they were synchronizing the melody and the pitch and all of that. And that caused them to actually become more synchronized internally as well. This is why they think that was happening. There's a nerve that runs from the brainstem to your heart called the vagus nerve. Did I get that one right, Jeff? The vagus nerve. Good. The vagus nerve. When you exhale, that nerve activates and slows down your heart rate. In their studies, as they monitored it, they think that this breathing in rhythm with each other, the taking of a breath together at the beginning of the phrase, the slow releasing of the breath as they were singing, caused their vagus nerves to begin to time, to sync up. By the way, once again, that doesn't happen if that same group of people are just listening to the music. It doesn't happen, because they're not physically involved with the music itself. So there's nothing there to physically to help them sync up, if we want to put it that way. The singers in the group actively adapted all the physical aspects of the music, lyrics, pitches, rhythm, phrasing to the group, and this began to synchronize their breathing and their emotions, which began to affect the more basic functions like heart rate. Now they are beginning to examine, because this was so interesting, they're beginning to examine whether this increases their sensitivity to one another. If the heart rate can sync up while they're singing together, what about their deeper emotions? Okay, what about that? They believe that what they're going to find is that it will affect their ability to cooperate even outside of the singing environment together. That they will actually, it will actually enhance the group's ability to connect to one another, to empathize with one another, and to open up to one another. Well, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? So how does singing involve so much of your body and your brain? What exactly is going on? Well, singing requires fine motor skills, right? You've got to articulate your mouth, you've got to breathe, fine motor skills. Fine motor skills are present in both sides of your brain. But singing in particular utilizes the math and language centers of your brain. Those of us that were singing one or two of those songs for the first time, you were trying to catch the words, but you were also trying to catch the rhythm, right? And rhythm is nothing more than a measurement line. It's math. That's all it is, okay? A number line. And you're trying to figure out where to put stuff on the number line. It uses your math and language, which is the left side of your brain, but at the same time, you're using the creative content on the right side of your brain. You're trying to make it sound good. You're trying to match your harmony and your pitch, and those are more creative type things. So this causes, you're using the left side of your brain, you're using the right side of your brain, and this causes increased activity, volume and activity going across a part of your brain called the corpus callosum. Did I say that one right? Yes, I'm getting these good. That's the bridge that connects the two halves of your brain. Okay? And the more activity, the more exercise that part of your brain gets, the faster and the information can pass from one side to the other, and the more diverse routes. Information going from one side of your brain to the other doesn't always have to go the exact same path. It can choose a more scenic route, if you will. And singing causes much more diversity in the pathways on both sides of your brain. A man by the name of Anirudh Patel, who is a researcher at Tufts University, said this: song combines music and words. Word production is a left hemisphere-based activity. Perhaps doing lots of singing strengthens the brain networks involved in word production and articulation, in addition to the right hemisphere circuits involving fine control of pitch and melody. You can look this up online. I decided not to do a PowerPoint with all of this, but there are some really interesting MRI pictures that you can get of people that are singing versus people that aren't singing. And when they're doing certain activities, certain parts of their brain light up and increase activity. But when they are singing, the whole brain lights up. Every part of the brain is involved. Now, let's go to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. I know you're familiar with this verse. We use this verse to talk about the fact that in the congregation we should be singing and not using instruments. And I think that's a very applicable part of that verse. I think that's one of the points we're supposed to gain. I use it that way all the time. But I want you thinking about all the ways that singing affects you. how it affects the way your brain is functioning, how it affects the way you feel, how it affects the cortisol, how it affects the two halves of the brain going back and forth, how it affects the hormonal balance within you, how the vibrations can affect your whole body, all the things we've talked about. And I want us to look at this verse in a little different light. He tells us, Ephesians 5:18, "And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." We'll include 19 as well. "Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." Now just think about that for a little bit. He says, don't be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation. Singing, one of the things that happens is it makes you feel better. It lifts your spirits. It helps you deal with the stress of life or things that are going on. One way that we as human beings try to deal with that stress outside of the right way is through drugs and alcohol. We find a way to stimulate those things or forget about those things in another way. Singing can do that for us. Singing can help us with that. So God tells us, don't be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but instead be filled with the Spirit. And He tells us how, one of the ways that we can do that. By singing. By singing together. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing as a group. But let's keep going. Look at this. Verse 20. "Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Notice verse 21. "Submitting to one another in the fear of God." Submitting to one another. God knows. He built us. He knows that when we sing together, it syncs us up. It helps us emote with one another. It helps us feel with one another. It helps us connect with one another. We empathize better with each other. Let's look at the companion passage to that in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 12. Paul writes, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, but you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are also called in one body, and be thankful." Now I want to stop there for a second. Look at all that stuff. He spends verses 12 and most of 13 telling us that we need to share with one another. Right? These are all things. Tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. Those are all things that we do for and to each other. Not to ourselves. I'm going to naturally be kind to myself. It takes effort to be kind to others. So these are all things that we have to do to other people or with other people. He also includes forgiveness in verse 13, which is one of the ultimate forms of love and mercy and compassion. So he includes love in verse 13, and then in verse 15 he talks about the peace of God, a calmness, a peace that can come around us. And so in verse 16 he says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." We're going to get all these things and gain these abilities by knowing the word. And one of the ways he indicates here to gain that understanding is through teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts. Isn't it amazing that God understood us enough to tell us to sing together? Because it was important. Because it was important. Now I'm going to bring this out again. I've mentioned it a couple of different times. but I want to emphasize it. It turns out, in all of the studies that I've talked about, every single one of them, they found that it turns out you don't have to be a good singer to reap the benefits of singing. You don't have to be. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if the sounds coming out of your voice would win the voice or get you kicked off the gong show. It doesn't make any difference. The studies have all demonstrated that the benefits of singing are present no matter what the experience or skill level. It doesn't matter how often or how long you've done it. You still reap the benefits. And I pulled this quote out of a 2005 study because I liked the way it worded it. Group singing, this is a quote, group singing can produce satisfying and therapeutic sensations even when the sound produced by the vocal instrument is of mediocre quality. How many times does somebody say, well, I just listen because I'm not a very good singer? Well, guess what? You're missing out. I don't care how bad of a singer you are. You're missing out. All of those things we talked about that are benefits, the sense of community, this, you may feel a part of the group, but not as much as if you were participating. But you have to participate as if you are the best singer in the room. You have to enjoy it. You have to desire it. You have to want to sing praises to the Lord. You have to work at it. You have to put the effort into it. I don't care what you sound like. I want to hear you sing. I want to hear you sing the praises to God. I want to hear you participate. I want you to teach me. I want you to edify me with the words coming out of your mouth. I want you to encourage me with your enthusiasm and your effort. Because then I grow from that. I grow from that. And so does everybody else. So does everybody else. Yes?
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah?
Do you think if you're in heaven, can you opt out of singing up there?
Okay, the question was, if you're in heaven, can you opt out of singing up there? I don't think so. I also don't believe there will be any bad singers. So we need the practice here. No matter how bad you think you are. And I want you to think about this. The concept of good singing and bad singing, that's up here. That's all in our mind, in our process. We've decided what we think is beautiful. You listen. I've listened to recordings or videos of singing from other countries and other continents, and sometimes they'll sing something and I just go, oh, I don't like that at all. But they think it's wonderful. It's the best thing they ever heard. See, it doesn't matter what I think. It's about what God thinks. God, I know this verse gets overused, but God really does say, make a joyful noise to the Lord. He just wants us to sing. And we've all been there. I don't care how good of a singer you are. We've all been there where the sound coming out of our mouth does not meet the expectation of our brain. Right? God does not command us to sing just because we need time filler in our assembly. It has a purpose, both spiritually and physically. With the message of our songs, we teach, encourage, and uplift. With our singing together, we unite, bond, and literally become one with each other. We need that most desperately as we attempt to navigate as Christians a world that is becoming increasingly individualistic and separated. May our singing unite us, bond us together, focus us, and please, I don't care what you think of your ability, sing. Reap the benefits that God has placed in us so that we can gain that together as we sing.